The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Another week, another episode, wrestling talk about. Let's get it on.
Just a reminder, The WrestleCast is part of the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the Rawcast through the WrestleCast feed. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Click on the logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you will be subscribed to the Rawcast, NXT Cast, Cast of Strong Style, and also SmackDown Matters. So, Mo to the Under, it's one of those special weekends once a month. We have a pay-per-view event. So here on the WrestleCast, that means we're going to start the show with the preview, a.k.a. who you got?
We got.
So as always, when it comes to WWE and these previews that we do on Tuesdays, cards subject to change by the time we get to Sunday. But we're going to talk about the matches that they have listed currently on the website. So okay. We're going to start with United States Championship match. The champion, Apollo Crews. He's taking on MVP. We've got a brand new title belt that I guess Apollo Crews is actually going to get to maybe hold for the first time at the end of this match if he wins. So, Mo to the Under, who you got?
I'm going to say champ retains. I'm going to go with that. I understand that we're getting great content from MVP and Bobby Lashley. But, you know, it'd be crazy to pull off the title off of Apollo Crews and not give him a proper run. You know, it's kind of like, you know, he's gone because, you know, they sell him the whole injury from Bobby Lashley before Nelson and everything. So, you know, probably give him a chance to come back just to, you know, give him a good matchup of this whole feud and everything. So I'm going with champ retainer.
I'm going to go, because, you know, we got to play this game and make it a little interesting, I'm going to go with MVP. I think that MVP's done a great job in the last 2 or 3 months that he's been back with the company as a full-time on-screen guy during the pandemic. And I think that Bruce Pritchard might reward him. You know, he might treat Apollo Crews the way that Gato treated Naito. Spoiler alert for those who are out there.
You know what? Speaking of which, I need to watch that match because I read everything that just transpired, and I need to see this transition take place because I just can't believe that happened. This is a Cast of Strong Style. We want to know what more of Don is talking about.
Yes. That is going to be out a little bit later this week. We will have a full review of the New Japan Cup Finals and Dominion. But our next matchup on Extreme Rules, and by the way, the hashtag for Sunday will be hashtag ExtremeCast. That's with an X. So drop the E, add cast to the end with a hashtag, and you'll be able to share your commentary with color. But it's the eye for an eye match. Rey Mysterio is taking on Seth Rollins. So Mo to the Under, who you got?
I'm
going to
go with Oh, man. Well, this one right here, I'm going back and forth with it. I'm going to go with Seth.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Seth. And the reason why I'm going to go with Seth is because I think that I believe we might see a, I'm just saying for me, we might see a turn here, but in all, Seth, I got Seth getting, pulling Ray's eye out and, you know, to the ring on his way and everything. It's been a good feud and everything back and forth. I just need Seth to win this, you know, just to kind of boost his heel rating overall.
Look at you trying to foreshadow something.
Hey man, but you know, we just been talking a lot and the hashtags are kind of watching, looking at it from a different angle, you know, getting out my biases and everything.
I'm going to go with Rey Mysterio Jr. I don't think he's missed all this time to come back and take an L. He's been on the show for quite a while. I guess just in a way that they can kind of work out. Well, he's got a contract due, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm still sticking with Rey Mysterio Jr.
I don't know. They say he's been working without a contract, so either they're trying to get him to do a deal or they're just saying, hey, you know, this is like a handshake under the table agreement that we got going on here.
Right. If he's smart, he'll take a short deal. If he get like a 6 month to a year deal, he'll take that and then be a free agent once hopefully the world opens back up. And then, you know, it'd be a bidding war for that last few years of Ray's career.
But here's the thing is, what happens with Dominic then? If, you know, what does this whole build up do for him?
Yeah, I guess that's what we're going to find out on Sunday, I guess. Kind of where he...
I mean, y'all want that boy to get taken to the woodshed so bad. So bad.
Well, you know, entertainment factor is high.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. But it's just hilarious every time I turn around. He comes out and y'all just want him to get beat down. They're like, when are you going to do it? Yes. Don't want it to happen.
Seth Rollins is playing around. Seth Rollins is really playing around. Next up, SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bayley's defending her title against Nikki Cross. Who you got?
One half of the two-woman power trip retains here.
Yes, I agree with you as well. This is going to be Bayley. Extravaganza, so she is going to definitely retain the title.
I'm just hoping, you know, this. I mean, it's going to be a great match and everything, but I just don't see them. They're giving us way too much great television and too much great content for them to just say, hey, we're going to take the titles off of y'all and put y'all in a feud going into SummerSlam. No way.
Next up, Raw Women's Championship match. Asuka defends the title against Sasha Banks. Who you got?
Oh my goodness. I want this prophecy to come true. And I want Boss Bay, I'm going to live here. I want to say Boss Bay is going to win and it's going to fulfill the prophecy and he's going to talk some much, much trash on these shows, so the prophecy is going to be complete. Two of the power trippers is going to be in full effect.
This is probably the toughest one out of all these matches to call for me, because Asuka has been just as entertaining as Sasha and Bayley during this little run without Charlotte all up in the mix, all up in the videos.
Right.
So, I hear what you're saying, and it would further the story along at a pace that would be just fantastic, and they would be obnoxious, as if both of them had the title. But I think I'm going to go with Asuka, just so is that little bit of I'm still you tried hard but you didn't quite make it, but hey, I'm still the SmackDown champion, can build towards this Sasha Bailey eventual matchup we're gonna have.
But they could, in a way, be teasing a showdown between Asuka and Kairi Sane with the whole rumbling that she wants to leave. But you know, she's been on here every week and everything, and from what we saw, you know, some pretty good matches and everything. But they could be pushing toward that too. So it's kind of like a couple variables in the play here with this equation. So we kind of got to see, watch Sunday to see how things turn out.
Very true. Very true. Now it's time for the WWE Championship matchup as the champion, Drew McIntyre, defends it against Dolph Ziggler. Mo, who you got?
Drew retaining. They're not going to put it on Dolph Ziggler. This is just to give him a challenger to the leading up to the eventual Orton showdown that's definitely in our horizons, but they haven't talked about it yet, but we know it's coming.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre as well. Like I said a couple of shows ago, last show maybe, much more interested in the Heath Slater segment that happened and the match that could have transpired between Heath Slater and Drew more than Dolph and Drew. So, champ retains is my thought as well. And then what is listed as the main event on the WWE website, we're going to have a Wyatt Swamp Fight non-title match as Braun Strowman takes on Bray Wyatt down by the bayou. So, Mota the underscore, who you got?
Champ retains here as well. It's really no challenges for Braun on SmackDown for the title. I mean, they have challenges, but they just not really letting that run wild. So we're just basically sitting here watching Braun do whatever, have these throwaway feuds until something can build up.
I'm going to go with the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. I think this is going to be a trilogy. He beat Firefly Funhouse Bray. Then Eater of Worlds Bray is going to win, and then that's going to set up a match with The Fiend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Three Stages of Fear.
Three Stages of Fear.
Yeah, so that's the card as of Tuesday that they have listed up on the website. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches. Probably going to get, let's say, just do this for the sake of what happened on SmackDown, which we'll talk about a little bit later after Raw. More than likely, it's going to be New Day versus Cesaro and Nakamura. Who you got?
I want to say they'll put the titles on Cesaro and Nakamura. That's gonna be my upset. That's my sleeper pick right there.
All right.
That's my sleeper pick.
I'm gonna stick with the tried and true New Day. Coming through, doing what they always do, defending the titles in this situation. But if it was different champions, I definitely could see Cesaro and Nakamura taking that home. But the New Day are just still on fire, so
they are. They certainly are, but it's just, you know, everything is going on. I mean, if you look at it, if you see like the challenges getting one up on the champions, and the champions going to retain, but you never know, they might throw that swerve around. You know.
Yeah, you never know when the swerve is going to come. You're right about that.
I mean, Swerve had a good match on on NXT last week.
No, not that type of swerve.
Oh, you're talking about the other swerve. Okay, my bad.
I'm talking about an actual swerve.
Oh, I thought you talked about our boy Swerve.
Oh, no. Swerve's got a lot, still got some work to do down at NXT.
Yeah, but he does. But him and Gargano had a good match last week, and I know you and Mississippi gonna talk about that on Thursday. So I'll wait to listen to that. But I'm just saying they had a good match on Thursday, and my boy should get more of a look.
So that
I would just love to know how that process goes down there. Like, you know, when they have somebody, they have the in the PC center, things like that, like. What goes into building up these characters? You're not doing house shows, and there's no way to develop these characters, you know, in the way you want to, because everything's being shut down.
It's kind of probably more like old school wrestling used to be, where they have to kind of, you know, do a lot more freestyling than they normally would, since they don't have the house shows to, you know, iron out any keys. I think that's the reason why you're seeing people who have decent chemistry with each other wrestle each other a lot right now.
Right.
Just so, you know, the matches are smooth and the competitors can kind of, you know, they have a little formula, or they may have a formula, or a formula, a B formula, and a C formula that they can give you a month worth of TV matches for. I think it's kind of what you're seeing a lot of with these matches, especially on Raw.
I'm just saying, we just have to appreciate. It's like you appreciate the house shows more now for what they were.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. So we're gonna jump right into Monday Night Raw from Monday. MVP is in the ring with the new United States title. He introduces Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler likes the setup and he approves of the new United States title. He jokes that he'll bring the spinner belt back when he beats Drew McIntyre on Sunday. MVP praises Ziggler for not telling what the stipulation for their match will be. Ziggler reiterates that he made Drew McIntyre and that McIntyre has never thanked him and would be unemployed without him right now. MVP thanks Ziggler on behalf of Drew McIntyre. McIntyre's music hits. He tosses over the velvet rope and makes his way into the ring. He apologizes for interrupting the ass kissing session, but promises not to claymore MVP this time. McIntyre has been thinking about his career and Ziggler's and feels Ziggler just uses people. McIntyre promises to hurt and maim Ziggler, make him beg for mercy, and make him regret ever bringing him back to Monday Night Raw. He doesn't think he can wait until Sunday. Ziggler tries to hide behind MVP, but McIntyre cold cocks him anyway, and then he punks out MVP.
Interesting open segment we have here.
Very much so. MVP doing what he needs to do, all up in everybody's business, still trying to, you know, hanging around Drew McIntyre in the title spot. So, you know, just picking his spot for Bobby Lashley or maybe one of his new clients to still be in that championship mix. Dolph Ziggler's trying, but, you know, ain't nobody caring about him. And
like I said, it's a throwaway feud. So, like you said, he's trying. It's just a throwaway, sir. So,
right.
SummerSlam come rolling around.
All right, so in the back, Angel Garza, Andrade, and Zelina Vega are being interviewed. Zelina Vega claims that her clients get along and puts over them teaming with Randy Orton and sending the Street Profits running for higher ground. Zelina then runs down Charlie, but Andrade and Garza slow that roll, and then we get a little hint of dissension between them, but then the Viking Raiders show up. The Viking Raiders claim to have been the most dominant team for over a year, but Garza and Andrade have disrespected their competition with the Street Profits. Hanson takes a rose Garza hat and gives it to Charlie, stealing his attempt at romantic thunder as we go to commercial.
that was a nice segment. Related to talk about Charlie's weave, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, why she want to be... I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I've been telling you for 2 months, 3 months, but I want.
What?
Charlie versus Zelina.
You really think that they gonna try to pull a trigger with that? I mean, she was kind of salty when Zelina was talking shit, talking trash to her, and she was ready to smack her. I was like, okay, let's pop it off. But I mean, if you look at Charlie's Instagram, she works out, she's very athletic, so. Never know.
I'm sure you do follow Charlie on Instagram. Watch your comments.
Hey. I'm just saying. Just watch it.
Just stick to the hearts. Just stick to the hearts.
Hey, I'm sticking to the hearts. I'm just saying. I know who hard eyes for her and everything.
But yeah, I would really like to see Charlie and Zelina. I mean, if they're doing all of this back and forth between those two and they never gonna like wrestle or have like a somebody get smacked or something, the interaction is just gonna be that's gonna be a chance left on the table, I think.
Like, can't leave that food on the table if it's building up to it.
So the Viking Raiders are taking on Angel Garza and Andrade with Zelina Vega. This is an elimination tag team match. Eric tags in, but Garza avoids some offense and he hits a super kick. Andrade comes in. We get the running knees in the corner, the hammerlock DDT, and Eric is eliminated. Andrade gives Garza a blind tag, but Ivar takes him out with a spinning heel kick, and Andrade is eliminated. So now we're down to Ivar and Angel Garza. Ivar hits a seated senton, then that spin kick again, but Andrade puts Garza's foot on the ropes to save the match. Garza counters the seated senton with the power bomb, and he gets the 1-2-3 over Ivar, and Angel Garza and Andrade are your winners.
Interesting with this match, how they would trying to do the fist bumps and say that they are on the same page and everything. So, you know, might be still some kinks to be worked out, but, you know, Andrade putting Angel's foot on the rope shows that he's willing to be a team player amongst all this.
That's good. I like to see these two guys come together and do some damage in the tag team ranks. Maybe not win the titles, but be some very good, contenders for the titles and give us some good matches with the Street Profits. Yeah. Do you want to talk about Street Profits now and kind of what's been going on with them since we're in the mix here?
So basically, the Street Profits, the reason why we haven't seen them on our television screens, Angelo Dawkins has a new addition to his family. I think it was last week. His wife gave birth, and you know that's one of the main reasons why they've been off of TV because of that. Also read that Montez Ford wants to he's giving his props to Paul Heyman, you know, because Paul Heyman was a big supportive of them. They got called up and everything, so. And, you know, he gave them a nice push and everything. And when Paul Heyman was running Raw, you know, he put a lot of support behind them. So Montez Ford is basically saying, "I owe Paul Heyman everything." So basically, kind of counting what AJ Styles has been saying about Paul Heyman's alive and everything. And you know, Montez Ford basically saying, you know, if it wasn't for Heyman, we wouldn't be in the spot right now. You know, so. And also, Montez Ford, I think he might be trying to cut down on those high-flying moves. You probably spoke about this on past shows. He said that he worked WrestleMania with a broken back. So pretty much he was hurt WrestleMania. And I know you've said this a lot, that he needs to cut down on the flying antics and everything because you want to have a long-lasting career. And y'all look at him as a star, so you don't want his star power diminished with injuries and things like that.
he really is the Black Shawn Michaels. Back injury and all.
Oh, man.
Congratulations to Dawkins, Angelo Dawkins, and having his first child. It's really cool for him, moment for him. And it's going to be a really cool moment for Montez Ford in just a second, because Ruby Riott is in the back. The Iconics, they cut her off and they start mocking her for being all alone because Liv Morgan is nowhere in sight. They jaw back and forth before Bianca Belair, the EST, shows up to be Ruby Riott's new partner.
I mean, when she came out and was like, hey, she was like, it's your cue. And next thing you know, she popped up. I said, oh, there's Binky. So, and she was like, you can't whoop me. I was like, ah, yes. You miss our girl on TV.
Oh, yes, we have. Could have kept her down in NXT for another month. Have been a part of all that greatness with Sasha and Bayley and Io. But no, they want to bring her up to Raw and put her on ice for a month and a half, but we finally got it.
She came back for vengeance.
Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, the Iconics versus Ruby Riott and Bianca Belair. Handspring moonsault from Belair, but Peyton Royce is in to break up the pin on Billie Kay. Ruby Riott takes out Peyton Royce with the enziguri. Bianca hits the KOD, the kiss of death, onto Billie Kay and Ruby Riott, and Bianca Belair pick up the victory.
So, according to, I know WWE doesn't really care about wins and losses, but this was Ruby Riott's first win in over a year.
Yeah, she was hurt, and she was on a big old losing streak before she had gotten hurt. So, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, so, it's kind of, she come back and Binky gets the win. And, like, hey. I said, see, our girl is still doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Montez liked that when she patted her backside towards the Billie Kay. She had patted. I'm sure Montez was like, yeah. Had that thing, girl.
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole timeline lit up with excitement to see Binky. She got a great showcase to show that she can go and that she is a force to be reckoned with, looking for bigger and brighter things to come.
And go ahead and make the point that you made, that you told me last night, that you kind of retweeted me on. Go ahead, make the point for our listeners.
Which one is that?
When I say I'm glad, I know you're happy that Billie Kay took the pin.
Oh, yeah. You can always tell. You can always tell the stars of the team by who gets pinned. Always.
Yeah. I was like, I said, well, we know who they protected.
Always.
I said, we see that for a fact, who they protected. I said, okay. I said, Dawn's right.
R-Truth is in the back. He thinks that he's wrestling Ric Flair instead of Randy Orton since Ric Flair issued the challenge. R-Truth seems moderately distressed by the revelation of this misunderstanding. Then R-Truth runs into Akira Tozawa and asks him to make him a black belt in 10 minutes. Tozawa declines, tries to pin R-Truth, and we get a kung fu standoff that ends with R-Truth demanding a 24-7 title match in the ring right now. Your thoughts about the segment backstage, sir, with Cedric? He was talking to Cedric and Ricochet, R-Truth Ricochet, was,
yeah,
when Tozawa came
like,
up.
He was like, yeah, you got challenged to fight wrestle ready on behalf of Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And R-Truth was like mad confused, like, what do you mean? So, I like the segment was cool. It's just, we already kind of see where they're going with this. And it's just like, we definitely gonna see where we where this is heading up to, you know, as we talk about more about the show.
All right. So, R-Truth versus Akira Tozawa, 24/7 title match. The proceedings are interrupted by Shayna Baszler. She stops. She comes into the ring before the match can really actually start. Tozawa sends the ninjas after her. Shayna Baszler kills the ninjas, and then Akira Tozawa thinks better of it, and he just slides on out of the ring. R-Truth is still here, and he decides to do the same thing before Shayna Baszler yokes him up too.
Right. She would yoke them all up.
Shayna Baszler, she gets on the mic. She runs down the other women's champions as being delusional, hoping that Tara Baszler leaves in her wake was just a memory. She promises to bring a hard dose of reality to everyone in her way. So we get Binky and Shayna in the same night.
I'm saying that's a good look there. It was basically like what happened to Shayna. Like, it had to be a case of, you know, Vince not, you know, souring on the push and everything, and, you know, trying to figure out what to do next. And then we kind of find out what happens next.
It's unfortunate, but Raw is lopsided when it comes to the women's division. They need some more talent over on SmackDown.
They do.
As we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, what they did with the women on SmackDown this week, definitely got some eye rolls and some WTFs, and they just don't have enough people right now to make it interesting in that division. Unless it's revolving around Sasha and Bayley, and they can only tell but so many stories right now based right. on what they've got, you know, going on with their respective things on Raw and SmackDown. So Buddy Murphy is in the back. He's meeting up with Seth Rollins. Rollins says nothing great happens without sacrifice, and that Rey Mysterio asked for this, and then tells Murphy to focus on his upcoming match with Aleister Black while he goes out to the ring to deliver a message. Seth comes to the ring. He notes an eye for an eye is a metaphor, but Mysterio meant it literally, and he can't quite get his head around how they got to a point where televised eye removal is the key to winning a match. He says the sanction and stipulation are unprecedented in the history of WWE, but he never meant to harm Mysterio. He promises that the horror show Extreme Rules will be a horror show as he's forced to rip, tear, and gouge until Mysterio is blind. Mysterio would never watch his son get married, see his wife's face, sunrise or sunset, and Extreme Rules will be the end of Rey Mysterio, but also a new beginning. His further rambling is cut off by Mr. Kevin Owens. Owens isn't sorry for interrupting, but does note he expected a more traditional feud ender like a last man standing match or a steel cage match. Owens feels slightly disturbed by the concept of that match. But he's even more disturbed by Rollins' ability to drive a great person and wrestler like Rey Mysterio to this point. Owens says he was willing to end his career just to shut up Rollins at WrestleMania, then tells him not to be worried. Rollins calls out Murphy to help him attack Kevin Owens, but Aleister Black comes out and we've got a brawl. So that leads into Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black. But first off, how'd you feel about that Seth promo with Kevin Owens?
Seth, I like the promo because Seth came out and he was talking about the eye for eye and how he just broke it down. Like, he was like, you know what that means. And I just like Seth when he's in this mode and he's, you know, trying to figure out what he needs to do in order to win. So I like this promo. It's a pretty good promo that he cut in the ring.
Now we get two guys who have awesome chemistry together. Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black. We get a knee strike from Aleister Black for a near fall. They jockey for position on a superplex. Aleister Black gets free. We get a black mask to Buddy Murphy, but Seth Rollins yanks Buddy Murphy out of the ring for the disqualification. So Ray and Dominic come out, and Seth Rollins is cornered. So that leads us right into Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Rollins heads up top. He gets cut off by Kevin Owens. We get an eye gouge from Rollins. Aleister Black distracts Seth Rollins, as does the Mysterio clan. They're all up on the apron, and that allows Kevin Owens to hit a stunner and pick up the win.
I guess he was kind of foretelling what he was doing the match on Sunday when he went for Kevin Owens' eye. And, you know, that was a good kind of setup to what the, that match is to be on Sunday. So, you know, I can't wait to see that.
Mysterio gets on the mic. He says Rollins crossed every line there is to cross, and now it's his turn to do so. He promises to make his own sacrifice at Extreme Rules. Rollins is walking into that match with two eyes, but he'll leave with only one. Rey Mysterio talking big trash.
Yeah, he's definitely in a dark place. He's definitely in a dark place. Where he was before, in his point in his career and everything, because of everything that he's been, everything he's been through, you know. And y'all keep calling that man Dominic his stepson.
That's Dominic Guerrero. We all seen it.
I'm just laughing every time I see him say, "Here come Ray, his stepson." I'm like, "Y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right." But yeah, this should be a good match on Sunday. I'm just trying to see how this is going to play out, because eye for eye means a lot of things. So just have to see.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair, he's in the back and he's talking with the Big Show. Ric Flair mentions that he spent 20 of his 48-year career around Big Show, and then puts Big Show over as the most athletic giant that he's ever seen. He puts him over again, but says he can't win the upcoming fight, as you can't do Hollywood and wrestle, and says Big Show is making money on his next flick show and he doesn't need this anymore. He doesn't need this, and Randy Orton is in the best shape of his life, and he might give him a serious injury. Flair encourages Big Show to go live the good life. Show says that he's a master of manipulation, and then says Orton is the most dangerous guy right now, and Orton might be the best in WWE history. But he knows what Orton has done to Edge and Christian, and then asks if Flair is willing to sacrifice his friendships in the business just so Orton can be the Legend Killer. Then we get a Randy Orton video package displaying how he became the Legend Killer. And basically, Randy Orton kicking field goals left and right with all of your favorites throughout the last 20 years of WWE history. I think everybody got it but Steve Austin, I think.
You know Steve Austin wasn't going to take that. I don't think The Rock did it either.
I don't, maybe not, no. I know Batista caught it. Mick Foley was the first one to catch it. Vince caught it. Shawn Michaels. Trying to think of all the people that had in that video. But yeah, it's been a lot of people.
Who, they had a lot of people in that video. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
He took out some individuals.
So that segues from the video package to Randy Orton in the back. He notes he was one of the luckiest people to have had a handful of friends in his business, Edge, Christian, Big Show, and Ric Flair. All but Flair he uses the past tense on. He mentions Edge not being able to trust him and that he's happy Edge is home being a family man nursing his injuries. Then he mentions Christian showing up and talking, but then selfishly accepting an unsanctioned match with him. That leads him to Big Show, noting they've known each other for 20 years and that the Show was one of the first to take him under his wing. You can't understand Big Show wanting to avenge some fractured skulls at the cost of his friendship with Randy Orton. Lastly, he brings up Ric Flair, who he calls close to their family, but thinks it would be a shame if Flair did anything to jeopardize that. He respects R-Truth as a guy who's made the WWE Universe happy for years and thinks it's a shame he'll just be another chapter in the history of the Legend Killer. Flair shows up to escort Randy Orton out for his match. Orton defers just long enough for a slightly sinister look at the camera before we go to commercial. Right, damn. He gonna kick Ric Flair in the head, ain't he?
Rick, he did put the boots to a lot of people, a lot of folks' head, and we just sitting here like, why? Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, this is what I do.
Please don't hurt Ric Flair, Randy Orton. Don't do it. America doesn't want to see you do that.
I don't think he's going to turn on Ric Flair. They got some history with each other.
R-Truth versus Randy Orton with Ric Flair at ringside. R-Truth asks Orton to wait a minute so he can talk to Ric Flair. Orton tries to attack him. R-Truth cuts him off. He tries the scissors kick, but he runs right into the RKO. And Randy Orton is your winner. Thanks for coming, Truth. We appreciate you. You got two segments. And you got two segments.
Right.
Randy Orton gets on the mic. He debates the value of punting R-Truth while Ric Flair tries to kind of like stand between R-Truth and Randy Orton. Then the Big Show comes out. Orton gets on the mic. He tells Big Show to stop before getting into the ring. He says he knows Show is angry, but kicking Edge and Christian hurt him more than it hurt them. He knows that he wasn't going to kick R-Truth. That kick has Show's name on it, and he offers an unsanctioned match for next week's Monday Night Raw. Big Show accepts. He charges the ring, and of course, Orton slides out of the ring. How you feel about an unsanctioned match between Randy Orton and Big Show next Monday night?
You know what that means. That's home. That's what means. Somebody gonna get their head taken off.
Hurt business. Somebody's gonna get hurt.
Speaking of hurt business.
In the back, Bobby Lashley and the MVP run into Lashley's opponent for tonight. No one is impressed with anyone. MVP promises to beat Cruz again at the pay-per-view and promises to celebrate at an undisclosed location. Lashley promises to leave Ricochet nursing injuries or even worse. Our interviewer then runs over to interview Drew McIntyre. He says him letting Ziggler choose a stipulation was him being nice, but now the psychopath is out. That's when Dolph Ziggler flies in out of nowhere and we get a brawl as we head to commercial. Dolph Ziggler like ran and dove on Drew McIntyre, and then Drew McIntyre hit him a couple of times and then tossed him up off of him and threw him back up onto the ring apron. He tossed that man like a child.
I laughed at that. That was funny. That was real funny.
Mm-hmm. It was really funny. Like, oh my gosh, just that man is very, very strong.
Right.
Bobby Lashley with MVP takes on Ricochet with Cedric Alexander. Lashley avoids a 630, but then runs into a super kick. Lashley catches Ricochet in the full Nelson, and Ricochet has to tap out.
So much for, you know, Ricochet having that special on the WWE Network. He's still getting beat down.
Ricochet and Cedric were definitely, they were definitely pet projects of Paul Heyman. So right now, they're just getting beaten to dust in the new administration here.
Right.
But at least they're back on the main show, though.
That's true. As MVP said, he will be in catering. He The catering business.
The catering business. Cedric Alexander comes in. He kicks MVP down. Bobby Lashley uses that opportunity to get Cedric in the full Nelson as well. He gives him the full Nelson slam, and Bobby Lashley and MVP stand tall in the middle of the ring.
He was talking trash too.
Always.
But like I said, MVP has been good for Lashley these past couple of months. So, you know, first we were cringing, like, oh man, Lashley's going to be on TV. What is this going to mean? And then you can see what it means. It's like he's developing a character.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has a mouthpiece to speak for him, so.
He's the heavy for a guy who can still wrestle a little bit and get him in places that he hasn't been in a long time. So it's working out for him.
Right.
Big Show is backstage in the interview space with Charlie. He wants to make things clear. He definitely accepts the challenge from Randy Orton. Then the women's tag team champions come out for their match. And we go to commercial as they hit the ring. Before the match can start, they give us a second chance to view their tribute video. and then it gets kind of cut short by Asuka and Kairi Sane. So Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Asuka and Kairi Sane women's tag team title match. We get an axe kick from Kairi Sane, a super kick from Asuka, and then Kairi Sane hits the insane elbow, but Bayley breaks up the pin on Sasha Banks. Bayley then takes out Asuka. Kairi Sane takes out Bayley, and then back in the ring, Kairi hits the Alabama slam onto Sasha Banks. But then Sasha counters a sliding D into the bank statement. Kairi Sane has to tap out, and the champions, Bayley and Sasha Banks, retain.
That they do.
Two woman power trip in full effect.
Hey, listen, you gotta show who's running the show.
Definitely the highlight of the show. Just tells you a lot. The WWE Championship feud curtain jerker, women's tag team titles main event.
Since there's a lot of talk this week about this being the anniversary of the women's evolution.
Yeah, yesterday was like 5 years or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, they could have just built on that, but
half of them are out due to medical issues, though. So.
Yeah, but. We think about this is kind of how it led to Shayna coming back on TV, because when Charlotte had talked about it on the timeline, and then Shayna retweeted and said reality, and then that's when Shayna had said, looks like I have to explain it more tonight or something like that. And kind of was like, oh, she coming back to TV or something like that.
What'd you think about the show overall, the go-home show to this Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view?
Well, I mean, you know, it was par for course for what it was. I'll say like a 3.5 again, like I said last week. Really enjoy, you know, seeing MVP, you know, doing what he does every week. Two woman power trip, always great to see them on TV. Great to have Binky back on TV, getting the win, showing that, you know, she does have skills, dropping the kiss of death, the KOD on Billy Kay. Billy Kay couldn't even kick out of it.
I thought it was a very good show as well. Not as strong as some of the other shows previously leading up to it, but, you know, it's hard to do this 52 weeks and they all be bangers. Very excited to see what Binky is going to do and how they immerse her into the storyline with Ruby Riott. The Randy Orton Big Show thing is starting to intrigue me a little bit more just because I'm ready for Randy to kick somebody in the head. Tag team title women's match was very, very good. Asuka, Kairi Sane, Bayley, Sasha Banks continue to just put on tremendous matches and show their chemistry amongst themselves. And that's really kind of what stood out to me for the most part. Seth Rollins, I will give a nod to Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black, man. They have really good matches all the time, and this one was no different. It was a barn burner, man. This is a real, even with the Seth Rollins coming in and messing up the finish, it still was just a fantastic match. They have great chemistry together. And then Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins was a very good match as well, with the Mysterio / Guerrero family using heel tactics to help Kevin Owens out. So we're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown. We're going to just kind of run through the matches. Starts off with Miz and Morrison interviewing Jeff Hardy. Miz suggests that Sheamus and Jeff Hardy have a bar fight. That's one of the matches that's going to be in Extreme Rules too, I think. So Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus, who you got?
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I got Jeff Hardy as well. But anyway, so Jeff Hardy basically accepts, and then he basically is like, hey, you don't think you two could come have me on your show, make fun of me for these last 5 to 7 minutes, and not think that I'm going to punch one of y'all in the face. So he hits the Miz with a right hand. Morrison tosses his jacket onto Jeff, then attacks Jeff. We get an Irish rip that is reversed. Jeff clotheslines John Morrison over the top rope, and that leads to our first match. Jeff Hardy versus The Miz. Jeff Hardy gets the win when he reversed the roll-up that The Miz tried to attempt. He stacked The Miz up, got the pin. 1, 2, 3. Cesaro, Shinsuke, they upset. They say they sick of the New Day. They sick of Big E gyrating and all their happiness. And they say tonight it all changes because they're going to become the new tag team champions. And then that leads us into Sasha Banks and Bayley against Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. Bayley rolls up Nikki Cross with her feet on the ropes and gets the 1, 2, 3 for the champions. Very fun match, good chemistry that those four women have.
They definitely have good chemistry, those four in the ring. I like seeing that matches.
Nikki went absolutely bonkers during this match. They take us back to Money in the Bank. We get the whole Bray versus Braun match in its entirety. New Day, they're backstage. They're doing their interview, and they're basically like, facing the rising sun of the New Day begun. Let us march on till victory is won. Talking about they gonna do what they always do. Retain them titles.
Exactly.
Then for the most controversial part of the night, Jey Uso is here to host a karaoke showdown between Lacey Evans, Dana Brooke, Tamina, and Naomi. Each contestant got 45 seconds to sing their favorite WWE theme song, and the audience will vote for the winner. Lacey was first. She did a rendition of Jeff Jarrett / Road Dogg's song, With My Baby Tonight. You knew that old Bruce Prichard was going to get that in if you listen to his podcast.
Of course.
Michael Cole claims that it was really good. Dana Brooke is up next. She begins to sing the Honky Tonk Man theme song as her favorite WWE theme song. So she does her little thing with the Honky Tonk Man with the jumpsuit and everything. Tamina says that she's going to do Triple H's theme song. And so, of course, like you do with the beginning of Triple H's theme song, she starts rocking around the ring. And then Jay cuts her short, snatches the mic, and is like, hold up, now he ain't even gonna do get a chance to sing. So last... Oh, she didn't even get a chance to be like, you know how, you know, it starts, da-da-da-da, and then it's like, you know, it's time to play the game. He didn't even let her say that. So next up is Naomi, and she sings Dusty Rhodes' theme song, The American Dream. So, of course, Naomi wins, according to the crowd, and Jey Uso. Naomi and her Naomi and her speech says that she misses Dusty. Lacey is upset, so she shoves Naomi down. Naomi gets in her face, and Jey holds her back. Naomi removes the hoop earrings and the shoes, so you know it's about to go down. So that leads to Naomi versus Lacey Evans. Naomi with a kick to the face. They end up on the outside of the ring. Tamina and Dana do a run-in, and we get a disqualification. Okay, sir. Thoughts about the karaoke?
See, I didn't even... I was watching, but then I skipped that, and I, like, dozed off, and then I saw the reactions on the timeline. I was like, wait, what? I missed the karaoke segment. And he was like, this is the worst segment in history. This is trash. And I was like, and then they said Naomi won. I was like, well, of course. Look who hosted the, look who was hosting. But yeah, I skipped that. And I was like, it kind of reminded me years ago, back when NXT was that little game show that they used to have in between segments on WWE television. This was season two. This is when Naomi first, this was like the all women, this was like the all women season. So they was in Baltimore, and they had them come out there dance and everything. And so I was like, who is this chocolate woman in the ring hitting all the dance moves every day? This would be way before I knew anything about a FCW or a developmental system. It was just some women that came down to the ring, and they was just the NXT season. This might have been season two or season three. Might have been season three, because this was season three. Because the second one was that after the Nexus and everything. But this was the season three NXT. And she was killing it. I was like, okay. She got some skills. She might have a career here in the company. And, you know, years later and a block later, here we are.
I guess it was a vehicle to get some ladies on the show. But, you know, they got to come up with something a little bit, you know, better than what they did. I mean, if this would have been half as good as the rap battle, it would have been a good segment.
That rap battle was great television.
But it wasn't, so this wasn't as good.
Of course not. I mean, the rap battle had Wale, and Wale was doing crazy.
AJ Styles is backstage. He talks about there's nobody worthy of stepping into the ring with him, so we'll be holding the Intercontinental title for a long time. Then he's informed that he's going to face Matt Riddle next week for the title. Of course, AJ is like, who the hell did he beat?
You.
Then it's time for the main event, Cesaro. Shinsuke Nakamura taking on the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Cesaro chokes up Kofi on the top rope while the ref is distracted. Shinsuke hits a kick to Kofi's face. Cesaro with a kick of his own. We get attacked to Shinsuke. Shinsuke with the back suplex flipping Kofi onto his face. Kofi fights out with elbows to both guys who are in the ring. Big E runs in. All four men begin to fight. The ref loses control, and he has to call for a disqualification. Oh, this was classic 80s TV finish right here.
Right.
Cesaro and Shinsuke aren't done, though. They grab a table from underneath the ring. They put it into the ring. Cesaro then powerbombs Kofi onto Big E, who is laid out on the table. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura posed with the tag team titles, and that is how we ended SmackDown.
Oh, man, that putting Big E through the table. Oh, man. This is why I love Cesaro.
Big hoss, man. That's a big hoss. This was a heck of a match. Cesaro has really good chemistry with the New Day. Nakamura fits in right in there really well. Like we said earlier when we were doing the Who You Got portion of the program, we think this is going to lead to a tables match possibly here at Extreme Rules on Sunday, or at least some type of rematch between those two teams. Should be very, very exciting. New Day and Cesaro, they really know how to put together a good pay-per-view formula for a tag team match. And with Shinsuke added into the mix, I know that it's going to be a very, very exciting match if that takes place on Sunday. So, other than missing out on the part that everybody was talking about, the karaoke part of the show, how'd you feel SmackDown was last week?
SmackDown, you know, had some good moments. He had the match between New Day and Cesaro and Nakamura. So, I enjoyed that. So that was basically, you know, how my Friday was summed up. And then, it's just like one big blur right now. It's just like we watching, and it's like, you know, this is happening. You know, like Matt Riddle, he's getting a title shot next week. So, I mean, you got to have something for the show, because you put that in the pay-per-view, then it's going to be like, what the hell we want? You know, what we going to have for, like, the next week's show and everything. And apparently, it's just it, for what Comrade Thompson was saying, Bruce Prichard's under a lot of pressure running both shows. You know, so, like, a lot of rewrites, a lot of, you know, things getting rejected and everything. So Bruce Prichard's under a lot of pressure doing both shows by himself. I think it's been like a cold thing saying, like, hey, you know, we're gonna have y'all do both, work on both shows, you know, not just give it payment all the way, you know. It takes some of the pressure off. And that's it. It's like, now we said that the SummerSlam, the original plan was SummerSlam was torn apart because, you know, everything's going on. So it's like, I know Bruce Prichard is probably just sitting there like, why did I let myself get talked back into this?
Yeah, it's, I mean, he's got to be responsible for 5 hours of TV, not to mention a roster that is forever changing.
Right.
A boss who is losing his mind. Plus his own personal commitments to the podcast and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure he isn't sleeping that much.
I'm sure he's not.
And Bruce ain't as young as he used to be when he was running up and down them roads with Vince, staying up all night doing crazy shit. He needs his rest now.
He does. I was just thinking this. They should basically kind of scrap the storylines and everything and just have like just some like fantasy matches and everything. And just do some like fantasy booking and just like have like just different shows and everything. Like, don't worry too much about storylines. Just have like, you know, matches from with the across all three brands and everything, and just doing something like that. You know, I just because trying like storylines is not really clicking in some areas. You know, you need fans for some aspects of the show, in other areas. It's like it's teaching the superstars how to work without a crowd and everything. You gotta work without a crowd.
I just think it's just been one of these things where the roster being so depleted has changed up everything. You know what I mean? You don't have your biggest gun, which is Roman Reigns, there.
Nope.
And you haven't had him there since before WrestleMania. So that's been a big old chunk of time. You've had a bunch of your international guys, Sami Zayn, guys who aren't local to Florida right now, be in and out. Some be there some weeks, be not there other weeks. So I just think that influx of having these people and then not having them, or then having them for a week and not having them the next week, I think that's probably doing more to wreck these storylines and getting things all torn up than just, him and Vince changing direction. They probably have to wait till they get to the building to figure out, okay, who we got for sure. We got to test them, and, somebody could have a fever and, oh, shoot, we got two segments that we can't even use anymore because this person can't do anything because they, got a fever.
Like you said, the roster's depleted, and you just have so much that's going on. We lost half of the roster because of traveling restrictions, things like that. People are sick and everything. It's not a good look right now.
Nah, it's not. New Japan just this past weekend had their first shows with fans. They've been running since the middle of June. I think it was June 20th or 19th or somewhere around there that they came back. So just about a month. And so this past weekend, they had two back-to-back shows with fans. The fans were all wearing face masks. They all were a seat apart from each other, and it was just fans in the ringside area, nobody in the upper decks or anything. So it'll be interesting to see what news comes out of Japan as far as if any of the patrons tested positive. I know Minoru Suzuki had to miss one of the nights because he had a fever, so they used precaution with him. But I haven't heard of any other wrestlers from New Japan being ill or coming down with the fever or anything since these shows have started. So it looks like they've done a very good job in keeping their crowd so far and their wrestlers safe.
Right.
All right, Mo, to the under. At this point, I'll turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank yous.
As always, shout-out to Dawn. Shout-out Sam, Dee, Gray, Classic Mel, Jubilee Julep, Day to the Max. I think my girl has been on TV in a couple weeks.
Who?
I haven't seen Sonya in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Did she do the karaoke, or she just wasn't?
No, she didn't do it. No. Of course, she wasn't in the karaoke. Listen.
His thing about her. The reason why they paired her with Dolph because they wanted Dolph to handle the Pro Bowls, but she was blowing them out the park, and Dolph was like, "She don't need me. She's good. She doesn't need my assistant. She got this. She got this on her own." So I just wonder what they're gonna have for her coming up next, because the whole thing with Mandy. Like, that's done for the time being. So she needs something else. So we need to get her groomed for that title run that me and Jay have been talking about, preaching for since day one.
I think something may be up with Otis, because we haven't seen him in a minute. And so if there's no Otis...
He's got the money in the bank.
Yeah, but if there's no Otis, there's no Mandy. And if there's no Mandy, there's no Sonya. It's kind of like a, food chain.
Package deal.
Yeah, it's a food chain.
I see.
So I think that's what's going on. You done?
Yeah, but this just shout out to you know, everyone who be in the text, in the hashtags with us. Great talking to y'all every week. Watching the shows, we make it be what it do. Sunday should be another great, you know, showing in the hashtag. You know, we got this. You know, if the product get good on TV, we make it good in the hashtags.
See. I'd like to give a shout out to Mo to the underscore Reese. Give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Samuel Kalunga. Also, G Money, my man Greg. Hopefully, he's doing well out there. Give a shout out to Miss Jade Cinemax and her fresh new sneakers she got over the weekend. She's feeling the glow. Shout out to Miss Simi for helping me do the dark match and the reviews of NXT Cast, which you can hear later on this week. Also, check out the dark match over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron on our $3 to $5 tier memberships, and you'll get exclusive content in the form of the dark match, which has our AEW review and post and pre-show conversations from all the podcasts here that we record on the WrestleCast. So please check that out. Also, the sponsors over on CSPN.us, support the sponsors, help keep the podcast free. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows. Give us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing, what you're liking, what you don't like, what feud you like, who's standing out to you right now in this pandemic editions of Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and NXT as well. So on that note, for my co-host, before I forget, the hashtag this Sunday, Extreme Cast, starting at 7 p.m. Drop the E, Extreme Cast, starting at 7 p.m. Share your hashtag, use the hashtag, share your commentary with color, and
we'll remind you of the hashtags this week.
Yeah, we'll have all types of polls. We'll have a who you got up once I get the full match card, the full 12 matches they're going to have for this pay-per-view. We'll get the card up onto who you got so you guys can vote and tell us who you think is going to win these matches coming up for Extreme Rules. But until Sunday, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, for my co-host, Mo to the underscore Reese. This has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
All that I am trying to do is lead Monday Night Raw to a brighter future. And Rey Mysterio has resisted his part in the greater good every step of the way. And now we are at a point. We are at a point where I am competing in a match at Extreme Rules, where the only way to win is to puck your opponent's eyeball from its socket. I never meant to harm Rey Mysterio. Never. That was never my intention. Rey presented himself to me in a time of need, and I did everything in my power to fulfill that prophecy for the greater good. And that prophecy came from the WWE Universe. Because you asked me to be this person. You asked me to be the leader, to lead Monday Night Raw the right way into the future. And that's what I am doing.
This year, Extreme Rules is called the Horror Show. That's exactly what it's going to be. Rey Mysterio has forced my hand for the very last time. I will be forced to rip, tear, and gouge until he is completely blind. Rey Mysterio will never watch his son be married. Extreme Rules will be the end of Rey Mysterio. But in many ways, it will be a new beginning.
You know, last week when I came up with the idea of the winners of the tag team match getting to pick the stipulation at Extreme Rules, I fully expected Ray to pick, I don't know, maybe a last man standing match or maybe a steel cage match, which would have made sense, you know, to keep your little buddies out of the way. But instead he went, like you said, with an eye for an eye match. And Seth, I gotta tell you, as disturbed as I am by the concept of that match, I think what I find even more disturbing is the fact that you are such a scumbag that you were able to make a man who is virtually respected by everyone in this industry, not just because he's a legend and one of the very best of all time, but also because he's a genuine, very nice guy, someone everyone looks up to. That's Rey Mysterio, and you got him to the point where he wants to gouge your eyes out. While I do understand where Rey Mysterio is coming from, I just want to tell you that you don't have to be worried because I got you covered. Because after Extreme Rules and Rey Mysterio is done with you, I got exactly what you need because I happen to be pretty good friends with a certain pirate by the name of Jean-Pierre Lafitte, and he gave me one of these for you. You get it? It's an eye patch!
You think this is funny, Kevin? This is my life! You know what's funny is that you're not even going to be able to make it to our match tonight. Get out here, Murph.